To God, our strength.
He has brought us hitherto. He will bring us home at length. This the Lord our God will do. Doubt not, for his word is stable. Fear not, for his arm is able. And we sing the whole hymn, number 242. Someone start it, please. Brief texts. First one is in 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 9. So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. Then verse 30. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. Then the little blue cards that have circulated around containing the schedule of the meetings for these several days has a couple of texts at the bottom that might bear repetition reading just now by way of introduction to this meeting. I beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. That's Ephesians 4, verses 1 and 2. And then the last line, wait on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 27. 14. Perhaps we could pray before the meeting begins. You know, our God.
I think we've already asked the Lord's blessing. Perhaps we can do it again, though. Blessed God and Father, as we open thy word, we pray thou bless it to us. It's thy word over thy children. Count upon thee for blessing, guidance, and help, and give thee our thanks in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to the Epistle of James for just a brief word. Interesting word in the last chapter of James. In the 8th verse, in the latter part of the verse, you might say, if we saw James, we might say, how come you said that? The last part of James 5:8, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Now, this was written 1900 years ago. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. But what does bring it home to me, and I trust to all of us, I can mark a day back in 1934. I was in Denver with my dad. We were walking out to the meeting room on a Lord's Day morning. I don't remember any part of the conversation, except he said to me, "The coming of the Lord is very near." That's 64 years ago. I was just a young fellow then. 64 years. Now it's interesting to me to think about how we look forward to being here. Here we are, December 26th. Go back, say, to Labor Day. The summer was over. Thinking about what's coming. And we think October, November, December. Yeah, December. The Burbank meeting. And so we go through October and think about, yeah, now it's just 2 months. We go through November, not just 1 month. And we go through 3 weeks, 2 weeks, 1 week. And then we start ticking off the days. The day is coming nearer and nearer. Now, if you liken that to the coming of the Lord, it sure is near, isn't it? You think about the calendar, and you think, surely the Lord's going to come before the year 2000. Well, perhaps all of us know that the calendar's haywire. We're already past 2000. If your Bible has a chronology at the top of the column in Matthew 1, Mark, Luke 1, it says B.C. 4. B.C. is the birth of Christ. The Lord Jesus, in that reckoning, was born 4 years before the beginning of the present cycle of years. This is actually 2002 already. You can't rest on the year 2000. But one thing we can rest on, the coming of the Lord is near. Perhaps today. Turn to the 12th chapter of Luke. But my thought is, what preparation can we make? How can we be ready for this coming? Often we say that these remarks are addressed to the young people, but I need it myself. The 12th chapter of Luke tells us something of the preparation we can make, or what that is, our being ready. Verse 35 of Luke 12. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Just waiting on the Lord. It was a story I read not long ago of the fishermen coming in, perhaps up in the state of Maine or up in Canada. And the men on those fishing ships were looking with telescopes. And one of them saw on the shore his wife was there waiting for him. And he rejoiced. And one of his associates looked. He didn't find his wife. And they got closer and closer to shore, and he still didn't see them. But finally, they got under the shore, and he makes his way home. And there's his wife. And he greets her. And she said, "I was waiting for you." Yes, but he could say Joe's wife was down there watching for him. Oh, well, I was busy here. Still, this is commended here. Ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord. Are you and I doing that? But there's more than that. Turn to verse 43. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find doing. That's a busy thing. Nice if that man came home and found his wife keeping house and making baking bread and getting all set. But drop down in between here, verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Now I covet that. I want to be watching at the instant when the Lord comes. I find it rather interesting, if I may have a personal observation. I often waken in the night. And sometimes I think, why did the Lord do that? Why did he wake me up? Ah, the Lord's coming. I'm ready. I can see him come. I would share that with you. I hope you have that same thought, that you want to be watching. Sure, you want to be waiting. And you want to be working. But just think what it says here, verse 37 again. Blessed are those servants, those Christians, whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. Doesn't that whet your appetite? Don't you want the Lord to come and you be found watching in your heart? I know you got to do your job. You got to keep house. You got to do this and you got to do that. But the attitude can be one of watching. That's why I covet this matter of waking in the night and having that little flashing thought, the Lord is coming here. So here are three things that you can do. You can wait, you can work, you can watch. You can do all three. You can wait only, you can work only. You can wait and work, you can wait and work and watch. And the Lord, this is beyond my understanding. We think of that vast throng, which we're going to be a part there in the courts of glory. And according to what we have here, the Lord is going to say, much you and you and you and you, come over here. What does it say? He shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And it's interesting to see, this is in the first watch of the night, that those who are doing this in the second watch, or even the third watch, are going to get the same blessing. So it isn't too late to start. Watch for him. Now, very familiar portion, but we need to look at it in 1 Thessalonians, just because it's part of the thought before one. 1 Thessalonians 4. You might say we don't need to read it. We know it so well, but still I'm going to read it. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Just a little amusing thing. When our sister, Mrs. Helen McMillan, passed away a few years ago. Subsequently, Dan Anderson and I took Brother McMillan out to the cemetery, to the grave. And I was standing by the date with the grave, and Dan Anderson said, well, said the Lord might come, that grave's going to open. Well, what a thrill that's going to be. The graves will be open. Those dear loved ones that we know are in the glory are going up first, and then we're going to be caught away to meet the Lord in the air. Again, what James said, that coming is near. It's way past due, I think. And I just remind myself, be ready for when the Lord comes. So one more scripture is 1 Corinthians 15. Again, familiar to us, but just a little reminder. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpets will sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall it put on incorruption, this mortal shall it put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The coming of the Lord is near. It must be very near, perhaps today. If not today, then tomorrow. Every indication, those that we've considered, is that the Lord's coming must be very, very near. And those who are watching when he comes are going to have a special blessing. I want to be a part of it. I urge you to join that doubtless vast throng of those who are watching for the Lord. Not just waiting, not just working, but watching for the Lord to come.
Number 208 has been given out.
Thank you. Is chapter 2. And verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We've had before us a little about the blessed hope, gazing on his blessed face, being in his presence. We call that the rapture. But he's been cast out of this world. He's been rejected here. He's been spit upon.